We're starting a new study. We've just finished Ephesians, and we're going to step into the book of Galatians. And that's something we've started a few months ago. We're just kind of going through verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and finding out a study. And I encourage you to spend time. I was talking to my wife, and we're just at dinner last night. You know, it's amazing how in the church world, in the Christian world, that if we're not careful, we'll study a lot of Old Testament. And I believe in the Bible, and the Old Testament is good. But the Old Testament is shadows of things to come, which was in Jesus. But the epistles, and my daughter's like, what's the epistles? And I'm like, oh, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Those books were written by Paul to the church. That's you and I. That's you and I. If you don't get to that level, then you really, there's so much that you can miss out. In fact, even the power of resurrection and the purpose of the Gentiles getting saved, it wasn't in the Old Testament. It's not in the Gospels. It moves later in the New Testament. We find out that you and I can be saved and part of the family of God. There's so much in these books called the epistles that I encourage you to make sure in your own personal walk with God that you do spend time studying them. Amen? Galatians chapter 1, I'm going to have you read together. We're going to read the first five verses because it's important for us to read and read together. So are you ready? We'll put this on the screen. Galatians 1, verses 1 through 5. We'll see that in a second. I'll give you a count out. 1, 2, 3. Go. All the brothers and sisters. May the God of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ increase the peace. Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from the evil world in which we live. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. Give yourself a hand clap. This, in most of your Bibles, not all of them, this will be considered in that section as a greeting from Paul. A greeting, introduction. You might wonder, why are we focusing on the greeting? And I want to focus actually even more specifically to the first verse, where Paul says, this letter is from Paul, an apostle. I want you to know that Paul, I understood his identity, his role in the kingdom of God. It's important for us to know who we are in Christ and what God's called us to do. Paul knew exactly, very specifically. He wasn't guessing. He wasn't trying every different thing. He had come to a place. He knew his assignment, his purpose. I'm Paul, and here's my assignment. I'm an apostle. But my emphasis today is on this area of the following that he wrote. He said, I was not appointed by any group of people or any human authority. I was not appointed. Another word you could use is, I was not chosen by man. Or any human authority. So he's saying that my direction of my destiny, it wasn't based on someone selecting me, and my success is not based on the authority of someone behind me. Because if my life is purely based on the favor of someone who brought me, then that person who brought you there can also take you back. If we live, and there's many ways to succeed in the world, but if we live on the coattails of somebody else and the efforts of somebody else, then the somebody else that brought you can take you. And they might even said, I brought you to this job. I brought you to this position. I brought you to this success. You owe me, and if you don't, I'm going to make sure you lose it. Come on. And when you do, and I believe with all my heart that the Word of God shows us that God wants you to be successful. God wants you to be blessed. But when God does it, the Bible says he adds no sorrows to it. You're not under the gun of someone who, if they face a bad moment or get in a bad mood, that they can destroy your destiny and your position. But when you do it God's way, all of a sudden you can live with the security of knowing that he's brought you. So if you're going to title today's message, my title for today's message is, Who's Got Your Back? Who's got your back? Paul said, I was not chosen or appointed by man. Therefore, I am not backed by the authority of man. When I am chosen by, and I'm thankful for organizations, I'm thankful for organizational structure, and we have different people watching even online, and many times there are ministers from other organizations, and if we're not careful, they'll begin to live a life, and this is for any of us, but I had one minister I was talking to, and he was thinking about remarrying because his wife had passed away. He was older, and he goes, I'm not going to remarry, though. He goes, you want to know why? I said, why? He goes, because of this, and he pulled out the card to his denomination. He goes, because I don't want to lose this. And the reason I say that is there can be a fear factor of us, and I'm not saying anything should go. I'm not saying we should live anyway. Romans 6 is very specific about not living in sin. But if my reasoning for doing something is the fear that someone will take it away from me what I have, then are we not living in fear and not by faith?
That's right.
If any decision you make, if it's based on the factor of fear, fear is the opposite of faith. Right. And the Bible says that anything that's not done in faith is in sin. If my choices in life, my decisions in life, if it's done by the fact of fear, then the question is, why am I not following God? And we can be, the reason I brought up that illustration, we can be ministers, full-time ministers, anointed of God, spend our life in ministry, and lose sight that the one we serve is the one who can keep us. I mean, if he would have said to me, I'm not going to remarry, or I'm not going to do this because I feel the Lord told me not to, and that's my heart conviction, I would have applauded it. But to say that I want to, but I won't because someone might take my retirement or take my title or take my position tells me that he's got men backing him and not God backing him. Because if when men's backing you, they'll threaten you when you do something that they don't like. But when God's backing you, it doesn't mean you can be rude to people. But when God's backing you, you'll obey God regardless of the cost because he's the one who brought you. He's the one that can keep you. Who's backing you? Who's got your back? You see, I wasn't chosen by man. I was chosen by God.
Yeah.
Let me say that to you. You have been chosen by God.
Amen.
Did you hear me? It doesn't mean you're called to be full-time ministers. Not everybody's called to be a full-time minister. And if you're not called to be a full-time minister, you don't want to be a full-time minister. I wish I was a pastor. Well, maybe, maybe not. If you're not called to it, you won't have the grace for it. If you don't have the grace for it, you don't want anything to do with it. Because it's the grace of God that enables you to do whatever God's called you to do. Without God's grace, you don't want to just step out and just... It's amazing how we sample like a buffet of careers trying to find out, well, I'm going to do this one, I'm going to do that one. You need to find out what God wants you to do. Because in any life, any career, any job, there's going to have seasons, not a lifetime, but seasons of storms or tension.
Right.
And it's in those seasons of storms or tension that you might break under the pressure if you don't have the hand of God in your life for that area. It might be a businessman. It might be a politician. It might be a house, whatever, a stay-at-home mom. Whatever it might be, there will be seasons of the pressure building because the enemy tries to, John 10:10, to steal, kill, and destroy. But when you are doing what God's called you, there's a grace to do it. And with the grace to it, it carries the weight of it. So that you can step in the heat of it, the pressure of it, and not feel the weight of it because God is backing you.
Amen.
Okay. Say, I'm chosen by God. That's 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, royal priesthood.
Yeah.
Ephesians 1:4 says that he has chosen you in him before the foundations of the world that you should be holy. John 15, verse 16, Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth much fruit. You are chosen. You can draw those three verses and combine them and say it this way. You are chosen to be something amazing.
Amen.
You are chosen to live a life that's amazing.
Yeah.
And you are chosen to produce something that's amazing.
Amen.
God did not call you to be average.
Right.
That royal priesthood of peculiar people, that literally means to be a cut above the rest. God did not call for you to fit in. God did not call you to match the trend. God did not call you to be a reject. God did not call you to be a failure. God did not call you to be ashamed. God did not call you to be mocked. He called you to be a light in the world of darkness. And where there's darkness, you shine.
Amen.
For some of us, religion, and I'm not into religion, I'm into a real relationship with Jesus Christ, but in some religious circles, they have so changed our thinking where we believe if we're going to serve Jesus, then we have to live a life less than everybody else. No, that's not what it means. You're not to be odd. You're not to be weird. You're to stand up and live a life that's amazing.
Amen.
That makes the world want to know what is so different about you.
Yeah.
That makes you flourish in the world. When God has your back, three things I want to throw at you. When God has your back, and then we're going to get into how to position ourselves. Because God doesn't change. So if God doesn't have my back, it's not that God moved. Okay, we'll get into that in a minute. When God has your back, you are blessed. Say, I'm blessed. Psalms 139, verse 5 says, you go before me, notice this, and you follow me. And your hand of blessing is on my head. When God has your back, you are destined to be blessed. Now, typically in the church world, and I've said this more than one situation, people get freaked out when you talk about being blessed. Oh, that's that prosperity gospel. And yet, the Bible is filled about God blessing you. And yet, as a nation, we are the most blessed nation in the world. And yet, blessing, have you noticed, blessing is not a number. I've asked people, are you rich? Oh, I'm not rich. And I ask them, how do you define rich? Give me a number. Have you ever noticed being rich is always something more than somebody else has that you don't have? Well, they're rich, I'm not. And you go ask whoever they are, and they'll say, are you rich? No, I'm not rich. You know what I mean? They're rich. And they'll always have somebody that has more than them. And yet, do you realize that in the world, if you took everybody in the world and put them into one room, if that was possible, and you figured out what everybody had as in regards to finances, that if you slept on a pillow last night and have more than one pair of shoes, so if you have two or more pairs of shoes, you are now in the top 8% income of the world.
Yes, indeed.
And most people would say that you're rich. But I don't feel rich. Okay, now we're in another world.
Yeah.
We're going from an absolute number that has no absolute to it. It's just a generic term, to now we're going to a feeling. What does it feel to be rich? I don't feel rich. Really? I think you can feel rich before your checking account shows you that you're rich. When you tie it into God's way of doing it. You say, where's that in the Bible? It is so many verses that we don't have time. But Paul told Timothy, tell those who are rich in this world's wealth to not trust in the uncertain riches, but in the living God who richly gives us all things to enjoy.
Yes.
And that's one of hundreds of verses. So God richly, he's your Jehovah Jireh. He's your El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. You know what that means? Not just enough, not enough. More than enough.
Amen.
So when someone says, are you rich? Say, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
You know, isn't it amazing? We embrace curses and we reject blessing.
Wow.
Someone cuss you out or call you something, you're like, well, I probably deserve that. Someone says, you're rich, you're like, oh, no. Curse that in the name of Jesus. Listen, when someone's blessing you, you don't have to reject that. Just say, thank you.
Amen.
Just say, thank you. Say, I'm blessed. Romans 8, verse 31 and 32 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God said, God's got my back. Come on, shout. Say, God's got my back. Now, a lot of us stay there at that verse. If God be for me, who can be against me? But let's keep reading what the Bible says. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with Jesus also freely give us all things?
Yes.
See, the problem is that people don't like the prosperity of God is they're showing their own nature because they are greedy. And they think everybody's greedy because the way you are is the way you see the world.
Right.
You don't see the world as it is. You see it as you are. I don't believe in that. Well, that just shows you that you're greedy, because if you're like, no one, I don't need to make that much money. I just need X amount of dollars. That's all I need. I'm not going to be greedy. No, I'm not. Greedy is wanting what belongs to somebody else and not you.
Right.
I'm just saying, do you want what God has available to you?
Yes. Yes.
Use your faith to believe for more.
Amen.
You're like, well, I don't need that. Who said that you need? See, the problem is you think that everything that comes in your hand is for you. Do you see the hiccup? Do you see the problem? Do you see the tactic of the devil to keep the blessing of God and the riches of God out of your hand? I'm not saying you have to be a billionaire or millionaire. I'm just saying we need to have the mindset that everything that comes into our hand comes from the Father. Every blessing comes from the Father. And every blessing that comes in our hand doesn't mean that we should spend it on ourselves.
Right.
I think that's just too much. Well, it might be too much for you to consume, but who said that you have to consume it all? There's a lot of hungry people out there we could feed. There's a lot of people needing clothes that we could put on their back. There's a lot of churches that need to be built. There's a lot of people that haven't heard the gospel yet. There's a lot of foreign third world countries that can't afford a church that need pastors and ministers and buildings and opportunities to feed their community and reach them with the gospel. There's a lot of need out there for the gospel to be preached. The gospel's not lacking any power to save anybody, but the gospel lacks power to be propelled. Hear me again. Let me say it again. I don't want you to miss it. The gospel does not lack any power to save every person that would come to it. But you know what the gospel's lacking? The ability to be propelled. The finances to propel it, the people to propel it. It's easy, because the Bible says, how can they believe on someone they haven't heard? How can they hear unless someone preaches? How can they someone preach unless they're sent? You ought to look and say, God, I'm going to choose, as we move into a new year, you ought to say, Lord, I'm going to begin to raise my bar. Show me and get in the Word and find out what God wants you to believe for. And it might be, Lord, I'm going to believe for twice the amount of money I made last year to happen this year. But Lord, I'll make a promise. I'm going to use that money to what you show me to do. You could create an impact. We have not been called to be consumers. We've been called to be influencers, to make an impact. And it starts in your home, then starts on your street, then starts in your neighborhood, then starts in your city, then starts in the state. Do you see my point? Some people are like, well, I just can't make an impact. That's a big thing. Well, don't fight the big giant yet. Let's start. Don't worry about the Goliath. Let's start with the lion and the bear. And if that's too big, let's start with a mouse that's been messing with the sheep. Let's just start where your level of faith is, Romans 14 says, and begin to activate your faith for what God's called you to do, with the idea that it's not about me. My life, it's no longer I that lives, the Bible says, but Christ lives in me, and the life I live by faith in the Son of God who's loved me. Are you listening to me, church? We got to begin to live our life in a way that's beyond just about us. You are not the center of the universe, and you should not be the center of your own universe. It should be Jesus and only Jesus. And that doesn't mean that you can't have good things. That doesn't mean that you can't enjoy life. That's what I'm telling you. God wants you to be blessed. The Bible says that the servants, that those who are out there that are bringing in the lost, that they deserve a great reward. They are well paid. When you're working for God, He is not cheap. He's going to make sure if one person steals from you, God will make sure somebody else will bless you. It's a joy to be a blessing. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You're involved in all the different ministries that we have that feed people. It's a joy to give people food when they're hungry. It's a joy to see. It's sad to see someone crying because they're hungry, but it's a great joy to walk away and say that we are part of meeting that need. It's a joy. It's a joy to see people that don't have clothes and all of a sudden now they can pick brand new clothes. That's a joy. That's a joy. Some people are like, I'm just so sad and depressed. All this concern about vaccination and COVID, and I'm just staying in my home. You're sitting in your home thinking about yourself all day. That's the problem. It's not COVID. It's not a vaccination. It's not who's in a political office. You are thinking about yourself too much. You need to wake up and say, God, I'm going to put into action your plans. Show me what to do. Show me who I can reach, and begin to understand when God's got your back, He's going to bless you to not only help you, but to make a difference in somebody else's life. What a pleasure. What a pleasure. What a pleasure. Around here, we believe in sowing. We believe in the principle of sowing and reaping. Locally, regionally, and even nationally, and into other countries. We sow into our Philippine churches on a regular basis. But I love not only meeting needs, I love being led by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
There's been times in my life, and you know, you have to grow in things. You don't just copy somebody. You copy somebody, that's like going into the gym and seeing somebody muscular benching 500. You're like, I want to look like them. Load the bar. You're about to die. Because you don't start there. You have to develop there. Do you hear me? So don't walk out of here and say, I'm so blessed. You write a check for $1 million and hand it to somebody. You might be going to jail. You have to operate at your level of faith. Do you see my point? This is a real process. You got to grow into it. But you work your faith in alignment with the word, with the idea that God's got my back and I'm going to begin to expect. You might be on the last years before you retire. You might be retiring and say, I'm on a set income. Well, that's a lie of the devil. You might have a set income coming from different sources, but who said that has to be your only revenue stream, your only source? Has God gotten so small in your world that you can't believe that he can give you an idea? Did you hear me? I'm going to mess up on some of your toes here. Oh, I was just like, because I love you. Oh, but you got to grow. But there's been times in our ministry where we invest in the offerings behind us. So I'm not getting ready to take up another offering. So don't even get uncomfortable. But I mean, there's been times, and then I hear the full story. And it's amazing to be part of what God's doing. I had one time the Lord placed on my heart to send an offering. It was $5,000. I thought, okay. Didn't call them. Just got on their website. Did a transfer. Found out months later in conversation with them. I didn't call and say, did you get it? You see what I did? That's not my job. My job is simply to obey.
Right.
You're like, $5,000, that's a lot of money. Well, it might be, but it don't have to be. One day you could be writing out $100,000 checks to ministries. I like what Jonathan says. You talk about offerings and people freak out, but they don't mind spending a few thousand dollars on a TV on their wall.
Come on now. Come on.
Okay, that's... And then find out later, he's like, you know what? He goes, I was at a church ministering, and the minister, and again, this is people, God uses people, and sometimes we're all growing, and sometimes people make bad choices. And the pastor he was ministering to kept the offering, decided not to give him the offering. So he didn't fight it. He said, okay, and walked on. And the next day, had two offerings, one from us and one from another church, that matched what was taken and more.
Yes,
God's amazing. God's amazing.
Yes.
It becomes a real fun game to say, Lord, I'm just going to be open for you to speak to me.
Yes.
Some of you, the reason some of us struggle with being blessed is because God's not got our back, because we're so tight saying, if I open up, God might ask me to give something that I don't want to give, and all of a sudden now you can't receive. There's a time the Lord spoke to my heart. I was just minding my own business, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and it's like I heard the minister, and I recognized his voice, and it's like I heard him say to somebody. I didn't know who the somebody was, but in my spirit, I just heard him say, we're just going to have to trust the Lord on this. I felt like it was an accountant. So, and the Lord gave me an amount. Said, send him $10,000. Well, years ago, we couldn't send anybody $100. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Until I had a revelation in prayer where God spoke to me, and I began to pray out of my spirit, Father, what a pleasure it is to depend on you for financial prosperity.
Yes.
So we don't manipulate people. We don't pressure people. Why? Because God uses people. Given shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men. God uses people. But when you look to people, you dry up your well.
Yep.
When you look to people, you position yourself to manipulate them or them to manipulate you. And I said, okay, got on their website, electronically sent the money, got a call a few hours later and said, Pastor Greg, is this right? You just sent me this amount of money? I said, yeah, the Lord placed it in my heart to send it to you. I said, and I told him my story. He goes, I was just in a meeting with my accountant, and we had some things happen, and we were behind on our budget for this month. And I said to him, we'll just have to trust the Lord. Oh, this is for some. You're like, I don't want to have any part of it. That's fine. But I'm telling you what, God's got your back.
Amen. Sure does.
He'll use you to be a blessing to other people. He'll bless you to be a blessing, Genesis 12, 2. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Number two, and I want to tell you, when God's got your back, it takes off the pressure.
Yes.
Some of us are carrying weight that God never intended us to carry.
Right.
The Bible even says to lay aside the sins and the weights.
Yes.
I just feel somebody, you've been carrying weight. I'm just going to pause here. I'm led by the Spirit. I'm going to pause for a second because I feel somebody, you've been living life and you're doing your best, and it's not that you're not trying, but it's you're living under this pressure and weight where you're having struggles even sleeping. I don't know who I'm talking to. And you even were talking to your spouse recently. You're trying everything that you can, even some homeopathic melatonin, some other stuff to help you relax and sleep. And you even said to her, I picked this up in my spirit, and you even said to your spouse, if this is not going to work, I'm even looking to get something from the doctor to help me sleep. Who is that? Who is that? Let me pray for you real quick. Just wave your hand at me so I know who you are. I don't mind waiting. Stand up. Isn't that amazing how the Lord... And the person behind you too? Oh, no, you too. Is that what I'm saying? Is that right? Is that right? Lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, we curse and bind that pressure as he begins to trust you and step into the grace you have. I thank you for not only supernatural wisdom, favor, and blessing, but I thank you that the grace of God will carry the weight and he'll sleep good. According to your word, you give your beloved sweet sleep. And I loose that anointing upon his life, and I break the power of the enemy, and I loose that anointing in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand, come on, praise. Now, if that's a little different for you, don't worry about it. Put it on the back burner. Don't worry about it. It's all good, though. This thing's real. Number two, when God has your back, you're not only blessed. When God has your back, you are secure. You have that strength, stability. Psalms 37, 17. For the arm, which is the strength and the ability, other translations would say. For the arm of the wicked shall be broken. Amen. Have you ever had wicked people try to attack you?
Yeah.
Here's a verse for you. Last week we had a verse about that too. That they're gnashing at their teeth and they slither away. That's a good verse. Check it out on YouTube. The arm of the wicked shall be broken. Their ability. Another verse says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. You shall condemn, for this is your right heritage, and your righteousness is of God. Your righteousness is of God.
Amen.
Say, God's got my back. Come on, say, God's got my back. This is different. We don't usually preach this way, but you know what I mean? But I'm cool with it. There's somebody that you walked in the door and you have been fighting people that you know that literally have made it their life's assignment to attack you. Who is that? I'm going to pray for you. Stand up. Who is that? Who is that? Stand up. Is this okay? Look, one, two, three, four. And it's like, their assignment is to unjustly attack you. And I'm not saying that if you've done something wrong and they're just trying to get payback, then that's a different story. But it's another thing that evil people just attack you for no reason. Do you see my point? Lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, for everyone that's under that weight, I curse and bind the tactic of the enemy. JR, sit down or stand up. Pick your choice, but I'm not messing around. In the name of Jesus, by the authority of that name, I curse and bind the tactic of the enemy that would come against them. And I set them free. Father God, we curse and bind that torment and that weight. Command it be lifted off their mind, and every word spoken against them in judgment, we bind it now, for they are the righteousness of God in Jesus. And Father God, I speak over their life. Let the enemies against them change their mind. And within the next 30 days, if they don't, blind their perspective where they'll be so confused they'll forget about them and never bother them again. I decree over your life, the enemies of your life will never come back to bother you again in Jesus' name. And give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Ooh, hallelujah. You may be seated. Romans 14:4. And he who serves, amplified, and he who serves the master, the Lord will stand. For the Lord is able to make him stand. When God's got your back, you're not only going to be blessed, you're called to be secure. Indomitable. Remember that series? Say, I'm secure. See, because the God who brought you there is well able to keep you there. I've had people in my past who were set out to try to destroy me in my ministry. I've had people say, I'm going to destroy you in your ministry. Not just I thought they were, they said they were. That was what they said. They didn't do it. I've had people who would say, who tried to, oh, I'm going to take his position. Didn't work. Oh, you better be careful. They're really going to try to get you out. Don't work. Why? Because the people, man didn't bring me here. God brought me here. And the God who brought me here can keep me here. And you know what? Pastor sleeps really good at night. I lay my head on my pillow and I start sleeping. Why? Because the God who brought me here is well able to keep me here. And if you don't know that, you'll toss and turn at night. Oh, what are they going to do? Let God do what only God can do. And you listen to me? Let God, and God will fight your battles. Some of us have lost sight. We have bought into the warm and fuzzy of let's all just be nice to each other and we should be walking in love. But you don't understand. You're the church. You're the bride of Christ. Men, if somebody started messing with your bride, what would you do? Aren't you a Christian? Yeah. That's why you're going to take care of business. Right? You're the bride of Christ. If someone, it's a different thing if someone just spouts off and has a bad attitude or whatever, but there are evil people in the world who will align themselves against you because of Jesus. Now, Jesus said when that happens, you ought to rejoice because great is your reward in heaven. But that doesn't mean that God's not going to deal with them. Right? Right? If there's evil people that are assigning themselves against you and against the church, they're going to be facing God's wrath.
That's right.
And you don't want to be on that side of it. Right. I like what Jonathan says out of Genesis 12:2. God told Abraham, I'll bless those who bless you and I'll curse those who curse you.
Amen.
We talk about the blessing a lot, but I don't want to talk about the cursing. No, God will take care of business.
Amen.
Don't mess with his bride.
Right.
Don't mess with the church. Well, I'm going to close them down. Don't mess with the church. We're not perfect, but we're still his bride. I mean, even this past Friday when we were doing an event, somehow it slipped through that we didn't get a permit. So someone, it was in the background at Hazelwood trying to shut us down. Yeah, evil people. Evil people. I don't want to be them today. But they didn't know that, and I didn't know till after the fact. And yet, we have one of our members that was over that area, and when it came to them, they're like, oh, no, no, that's okay. I'll take care of it. That's my church. Just because we're smiling doesn't mean that there's not attacks. So some people are trying to live in a utopia of everybody loves you. It's not going to happen. And if you're going to do anything for the Lord, you got to be ready. It's not going to happen. But when you do it and God's got your back, you can still sleep because you know God is on your side. If God be for me, you'll be sane. You'll walk the halls of your house. Say, if God be for me, who can be against me? You'll walk through and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Why? Because you know who you serve. You know who's got your back. Hallelujah. God has your back. When God has your back, you are blessed. And God has your back, you are secure. You're not wavering. Because James says a person that wavers is like a ship tossed in a sea back and forth. And that let not that person think that they will receive anything from the Lord. No, we set our feet solid on the security of the Word of God.
Amen.
Not on emotions, not on traditions, not on history, but on the truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
And say, Father, hell or high water, I'm going to believe.
Come on.
I'm going to believe you. And you stand, having done all. Stand. Secure.
Yes.
Secure. Secure. Say, God is good. Number three, last but not least. When God has your back, you're not only blessed, you're not only secure, you are victorious. Romans 8:37, and all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumph. He brings you to the place of victory as trophies of Christ's victory, the Amplified Classic says. And through us, say through me. Catch this. This is why the devil tells people in the church world that God wants you to live a life where you're a second-rate citizen and you're a failure and you can't do anything, because he doesn't want you to be seen. He doesn't want you to get noticed, because it's the people that are noticed that all of a sudden people will listen to.
Right.
But here's what the Bible says. And through you, spread and make evident the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. Did you know you're... answers to your prayer? Do you know that the victories of your life, when God's got your back, it becomes an aroma of the fragrance of God's goodness in your life? Wherever you walk into a room, now not everybody's going to love it, because not everybody's happy that you're happy. Not everybody's going to be happy that Jesus is alive. There are evil people in the world, but that's okay. Since when do we allow evil people to direct our ship? We let God direct our ship.
Yeah.
We need to obey the laws of the land. We obey the laws of the land as long as it's in alignment with the law of God.
Exactly right.
But if the evil person gets in position, whatever position, and listen, I don't care what political party you are, we're not into that as far as promoting that. Republican, Democrat, Socialist, whatever it might be, there's evil people in all parties.
Right.
Because unsaved people with power are evil people in the process of time. They start thinking it's all about them. They need Jesus. That's why we pray for them. They need Jesus. But listen, I don't care who they are. If they tell us to do something that's in conflict with the word of God, you need to say, listen, I respect your position, but I'm not obeying your authority. Like Peter said, would it be better for us to obey you than God?
Come on.
Okay. Well, what are you saying? You interpret it your own way. I don't care. We just love God, love people. Because when God has your back, he's called you to be victorious. He's called you to be victorious. He's called you to be victorious. Now, I haven't shared this story, and the Holy Spirit keeps on pressing upon me to share it, so maybe someone needs to hear it. When we moved into this space a few years ago in transition, it was an interesting journey. We had one group that didn't want us to be here. My banker came by to sit at the office with us. And me and him were talking. I'm like, hey, here's our plans. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sell this building. We're going to move over to this other location. This is what we feel God wants us to do. And I was surprised to hear him as he looked at me and said, well, Greg, I can't tell you that you shouldn't do it, but I can tell you that we're not interested in being your bank if you do that. And let me know if you proceed that way, because then we want to know. We're not going to come in as gangbusters, but we want to know how you're going to pay off the note, which basically was threatening us. We're going to take the building. So I got one side threatening to take the building. Another side don't want us in the new building. We haven't finished this building yet. We need the sale of this building to make that building work. If they take that building, we have no building, we have no place. Come on, somebody.
Right.
And then the Lord placed on my heart, don't do a capital campaign. Help me, Jesus. And not to ask for money. So I had one prayer that I was using that the Lord gave me, and that was, Father, speak to the hearts of the people and bless those who obey. And if you're with us, we didn't take a fundraiser. We didn't sell a brick. We didn't do a name on a wall. We didn't do any third, fourth, fifth offering. I'd have people that had resources come and say, what do you need? And I would tell them, listen, I'm not telling you what to do. You just pray, ask the Lord what you should do. And God used people. God used some amazing people. But I know what it's like to look at my app on my phone and see not thousands, not tens of thousands, not a hundred thousands, but a little M after that on open invoices. Now, I don't know about you, but when you don't have a little M in the bank account to cover those open invoices, and you got people calling you, And I get people coming up with money and say, what do you need? You just do what the Lord placed in your heart. And I would keep praying, Lord, speak to the hearts of your people and bless those. And I've had people come up and say, Pastor, all that going on after the fact, I didn't see you change at all. You know why I didn't change? Because of the grace of God.
Yes.
God worked it out in the process, but when you're going through the journey, you're thinking, OMG. I can only see my dad in heaven saying, what are you doing, son? And I'm like, I can't carry this weight. Why would I try to carry this weight? Right. Some of you are carrying weight that God never called you to carry. Jesus said, cast your care upon me.
Yes.
Now, that doesn't mean foolish, but when you follow God and he's got your back, he'll guide and direct you.
Amen.
The steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord.
Amen.
My word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. You get a hold of the word of God and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And you don't always understand it, but you got to be like Romans 4, Abraham, who was fully persuaded that not looking at his own self, or Sarah, that there's no way that this is going to happen. But God gave me a promise, and all we had was a promise, church. All we have is a promise, church. And so when I walked the halls, we would come in. I'd come in early before work, and I'd walk this space praying in tongues. And it was unfinished, and it was cold, and it was dark. But I'd walk back and forth praying in tongues and praying and thinking, God, Father, I thank you that you got your hand on this. That this is not a man idea. That this is a God idea. People are like, why are you trying to put a church in a mall? That don't make sense. No one should have a church in a mall. In fact, I heard they're closing a mall. They ain't closed it yet, have they? It'll fly against logic and against pressure. But what you do, you walk the steps that you walk. And you give God. And as even today on this side of the journey, I walk through and I'm saying, Father, thank you. I am so grateful for what you did. I'm so grateful how generous you've been to us. I'm so thankful the impact we're making. And it just keeps going and keeps growing. Once you kill the lion and the tiger, you know what? It's not only in the animal kingdom. It will be in your world when you understand the kingdom of God. Once you kill a lion and the tiger, you get a little taste for some blood. You're like, you say, what do you mean? You get this little taste in your mouth, and you're like, thank you, Father, for that victory. Show me something else I can do. Lord, I don't want to settle just for the story of where I've been. I want to see a challenge opportunity of where you want me to go. David said, what's the reward to the person that takes down this giant? What's the reward of the person that takes down this Philistine, this one that's known covenant? Why? Because he already had victory with the lion and the bear. Now he's looking for God to show himself strong. Not out of foolishness, but out of destiny. How do we get God to back us? How do we get God to back us? End with this verse. Have you heard this before? Romans 8. And we know that all things, stay with me, church, stay with me. We know, say, I know. So you gotta know. If you don't know, you better know. Before you chase that giant, you better know. Before you go after that lion and that bear, you better know. Before you rise up, it's not fake it till you make it and just act the part. No, you better know. Say, I know. See, that kind of knowing you only get from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And we know that all, not some things, not majority things, say all things work together for good to them. Now, here's the question that a lot of people don't deal with, because they'll quote, all things work together for good.
Right.
Are you listening to me, church?
Yeah.
All things don't work together for good for everyone.
Right.
That's not what that verse said. Remember, we talked last week, there's a lot of people in the church world rowing in the boat of, I'll do it my way, but wanting the results of the boat that says, I'll do it God's way.
Yeah, right.
They don't want to meet the condition of the promise. They just want the reward of the promise.
Come on, Pastor. Come on.
They want the blessing of the covenant of Malachi 3, but they don't want to be a covenant tither.
Right.
They want, ooh, it's getting quiet. Now some are even running for the hills. I hear that's a good thing. They don't want to. Notice, all things work together for good to them. Who what? Number one, who what? Love the Lord. Do you love God? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll be abiding in my word and do what my word says. Amen. Just like I have obeyed the Father and I remain in his love. Right. Yeah. Well, God loves everybody. He does, but not everybody experiences that love. Right. Well, could God of love send people to hell? No, they send themselves to hell. He paid the price. They just refused to accept. Because good people don't go to heaven, only forgiven people.
Yes.
For God's so loved the world. Now notice this. All things work together. Notice that verse again. All things work together. All things work together for good to them that love God.
Yes.
Condition number one.
Yes.
And to them who are called according to his purpose.
Yes.
Are you doing what God's called you to do?
Yes.
If something's not working, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. Maybe you haven't found the purpose of the way he does things in that area. And instead of reusing the tool of tradition, drop and say, God, show me what I need to do in this area because I know you've called me. When you have my back, I'm going to be blessed. When you have my back, I'm going to be secure. When you have my back, I'm going to be successful. Do you know what most people struggle with when battles of life? They're losing money, they're losing sleep, and they're losing... Come on, you got to be way too quiet to me. Here's a big picture here. But when God has your back, to those who are called according to his purpose, I'll say it this way. When I choose what God has chosen, I experience what God can change. When I choose what God has chosen, I can experience what God can change. Jeremiah 1:12 says he's watching over his word to perform it. When you begin to say, God, I'm going to choose you. I'm going to choose your word. I'm making that a priority. Some people are like, yeah, I agree with that, Pastor, but I don't want to get carried away and be too radical, you know. I got a Bible and I flip it through and I kind of like look at a verse from time to time. That's what you get. That's all you have. But if you want more, you have to, listen, if you casually seek God, you'll not find anything.
Right.
It doesn't mean be weird. It doesn't mean talk weird. It doesn't mean that you have to pray 24 hours a day. But if your heart's like, oh, I'm just flippant with the things of God, I'll go to church occasionally when I want. That's good enough. I'll read the Bible whenever. Listen, you're not taking it seriously. It's not a priority to you. And that's okay. But you need to know the results you get.
Right.
You could be 6'9". And be able to jump and run. But if you're like, I don't want to play basketball that much. I'll practice maybe once a month. You're not going to make it into the NBA.
Right.
Although you have the potential to make it into the NBA.
Right.
Jesus said it this way. You can be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out. I'm not saying that you have to be, I'm not saying you have to witness to everybody and every conversation has to be Bible verse. Don't be weird. Don't be something you're not. Walk the process out at your level. But if Jesus is number one in your life, you're going to say, Lord, it's not about me. You show me what to do.
Right.
But Pastor, I don't know what to do. I don't know. And I'm glad you're at that point because I want you at that point because the Bible says something about that point. It closes with this verse. I'll give you two more verses real quick. Philippians 2:13 says, it is God who's working in you to give you the will and to act. One translation says to give you the desire and the ability to do what pleases him.
Yeah.
How do I get God to cover my back? Choose what God's chosen.
Right.
How do I get there? Ask him to do it.
Yes.
Father, give me the desire and the ability. Psalms 37 says it this way. Maybe you've heard this verse. Delight yourself in the Lord. And he'll give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean if you have a desire for something, you're going to get the thing. Because most people quote that. But the next verse says, commit your works unto the Lord. Trust also in him. And he will bring it to pass. What is it saying? Choose him. There's a story about a family who had lost their wife. And so he had this very wealthy gentleman that was older, had a young son, and so he hired a nanny to watch his son, take care of him. And he loved this son. This son was so important to him. But one day this son got sick and died at a young age. And the father, the rich father, was so devastated that he shortly after died. And so, having no other heirs, they were auctioning everything off. And so the nanny didn't have a lot of money, but the first thing that came up at the auction block was a painting of the boy. And so the auctioneer says, "We're going to start with this painting." And he said, "Can I get $50 for it?" No one responded. And the nanny looked at her money she had, and she had just enough to buy the painting because she loved that little boy so much. She thought, "I can't afford the expensive stuff, but I can at least get something that means something to me. And I love that little boy." And she bought that picture. She said, "I'll take the painting." And paid her $50. And the guy, going once, going twice, going three times, hit the gavel and said, "Thank you all for coming. We're done." And people started rumbling, say, "Wait a minute, there's mansions, there's yachts, there's all these expensive paintings and pictures and all this furniture. Aren't you going to auction that?" And they said, "It was in the will of the person who died to say, I want you to start the auction with a picture of my son. And whoever chooses my son gets everything." Jesus said the world strives after all the stuff. But do it my way and I'll make sure you have it.
Amen.
What am I telling you? I've given you a lot of information today. But let me simplify it. If you want God to have your back, choose Him. Choose Him. Spend time in His Word. Spend time in His presence through the Word. Spend time in His presence while you're praying. Spend time in His presence while you're worshiping. Spend time. Get to know. It's a relationship, not rules. Choose Him. And as you choose Him, all this other stuff will be added unto you. Amen? It's a real deal. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, maybe you've never heard the gospel before, maybe you thought it was just about a Sunday church service or rules, what you couldn't do or what you had to do, I'm telling you, it's a real relationship. In the way you process and the way you experience, you can know for yourself that Jesus Christ is real and your Lord and Savior. Or maybe you're here today and say, "Pastor, I've heard the gospel and I used to be saved, but for whatever reason, I've allowed stuff to come between me and God, and I know my heart's not right. But I want to get my heart right today." Or maybe you're here today and say, "Pastor, it's not so much that I've done something wrong or I've gone down the wrong path, but I know my heart's not totally for the Lord. He's not number one in my life. He's not my Lord and my Savior." If any of those three are you, this is your moment. This is your opportunity. Romans 10 says, "Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is your chance to say a short prayer that will make an eternal difference. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to lead you in that prayer. And if you don't know Him, this is your time. Just repeat that prayer from your heart and watch what God will do in your life. Say with me, pray with me. Say, "Heavenly Father, I turn to You today. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask You, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in Your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with You. So I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite You in to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank You for saving me. Amen." Now, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to look up here real quick. If you prayed that prayer, I want to speak a blessing over your life. If you prayed that prayer and meant business with God, at the count of three, I want you to stand to your feet. Just stay where you're at. I'm not going to ask you to come down. But if you prayed that prayer and meant business with God, if you think it's a struggle to stand up for Jesus when people are clapping for you, what will happen when people ask you to stand up for Jesus and they're trying to talk you out of him in the world? And that's the world we live in. It's getting darker and darker, and people are looking for Christians so that they can try to talk you out of it. But I'm here to tell you, you can have the strength of God, the ability of God to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen. So if that's you, the count of three, I want you, if you prayed that prayer and meant business with God, I want to speak a blessing over your life. I want you to stand to your feet. And one, two, three, stand now in the name of Jesus. Come on, stand now. It's time to get things right with God. Come on, church, give a hand clap. It's time to get things right with God. There's still more. Who else is there? Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Who else am I talking to? Thank you, Jesus. Stretch your hands toward him. Father, in the name of Jesus, I sanctify them today by the blood of Jesus. We apply the blood of Jesus upon their life, their homes, their careers, and all that they put their hands to. And according to your word, Father, you said that you could give them strength and strengthen them with might by your spirit in the inner man. Strengthen them today. Let an anointing rest upon them, that wherever they go, that they can stand up for you and be strong in you and not be tempted by the enemy to make them waver. We thank you for supernatural strength and boldness in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody shouted, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. God bless you. After service, we're going to have prayer partners down here in the front if you need one-on-one prayer. The food pantry, the clothing store will open 15 minutes after we're done with service. Let me speak a blessing over your life. Don't forget, we're moving to the holidays. It's going to be a great time of celebration and also making a connection with other people, letting them hear the gospel. Amen? So be strategic. Let God place people on your heart to invite. Let the Lord place someone. If the Lord brings somebody to your attention three times this week, will you call them and reach out and invite them? Let the Holy Spirit just drop someone in your cup. Maybe someone brings them up. Maybe you're thinking about them. Reach out to them. We can't be passive about the gospel. We can't be passive about reaching people. Time is running out. We need to reach people. So no one goes and says, I didn't hear. And they'd be right next to us. That can't happen. We got to reach people. Amen. Let's be a blessing. I'm going to speak the blessing out of number 6 over your life. Lift your hand if you want to receive it. May the Lord bless you and protect you in this benediction. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, love you. God bless you. Have a great week. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.